Welcome to the Arts and Antiques Radio Show with appraiser and art aficionado, Dr. Elizabeth Stewart.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven.
Don't meet the prime movers of the Santa Barbara art scene and hear the tales of art, books, music, and experiences of great value. There's no place like Santa Barbara for the arts, where beauty works and thrives. What's valuable to you?
There'll be pennies from heaven for you and me.
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara. It's your chantress of everything valuable and beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart, and a dream come true for me today. I have the opportunity to interview somebody who is both valuable and beautiful, and we're going to talk in a few minutes with the legendary star, actually 70 years a star, Eva Marie Saint, and I'll be doing a little introduction, but I also want to introduce my co-interviewer, also a famous person in film. This is Eileen Khan Power, and Eileen actually is here because here's how this all came together. The Ojai Film Festival is happening, and Eileen is on the board of an organization, extremely worthy organization, called Women in Film. And they have, over the years, presented a legacy series. Last year, I went to see Cloris Leachman, and Eileen had done a film about her life. And she's doing the legacy series around actress Eva Marie Saint on Friday, November 9th. At the Ojai Art Center. And it's an intimate filmed interview produced by Ms. Khan Power. And it's a 40-minute retrospective of, you know, Ms. Saint's Academy Awards, Emmy Awards, et cetera, her career in film, television, and stage. And just so you can get your day timers out or your phones, the event is November 9th at 4 p.m. with the screening, and followed by a question and answer with Miss Saint and a receptionist to follow. And Eileen, thank you so much for being here and coming and helping me with this.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And here we have on the line Eva Marie Saint, I believe. Miss Saint, are you with us?
Yes. Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hello, Eileen.
Hi, Eva Marie.
There
so
she
nice
is.
To hear your voice.
Thank you.
So I have a quote. This is a quote from Brian Michael Tracy, and he is a critic, and he writes fairly recently about Miss Saint, played by one of the most famous female leads in movie history, opposite Marlon Brando in On the Waterfront, 1954. Miss Saint brought real acting in at a time when melodrama still ran rampant in the industry. Who can forget her memorable argument scene with Brando when she says, "I didn't say I don't love you. I said I want you to get out." Eva Marie Saint is...
Yeah, what does that mean?
yeah, exactly. Well, I was going to ask you, Miss Saint.
No, you're not. You're going to say, what does that mean?
That's right. Eva Marie Saint is still going strong with her work, he writes. She takes the fact that she is part of film history in her able stride. And I thought, wow, that is such a cool quote, because all the research I've been doing on you, Miss Saint, there's a couple themes in your life that I'd like to ask you most about.
All right.
Number one is the importance to you. It seems to me, looking through all of what's online about you, that you hold mentorship in fairly high regard, and that you had some really interesting mentors in your career, none the least when you were at Bowling Green and you wrote your drama coach, "Do you think this acting stuff is for me?"
Well, first of all, I would never use the word stuff, so that's a misquote.
Right. That's a misquote.
Let's get that. I read that, and I thought, I wouldn't say stuff.
No. That acting is for me. And that was your professor at Bowling State.
Bowling Green State University. Yeah. And I didn't write him a letter, by the way. It's more interesting. I was a Delta Gamma, and I lived in the Delta Gamma house. And Dr. Eldon T. Smith was a professor of speech and drama. And his wife, Betty, was the house mother, and they had two little children. It was like a family. So they lived in the sorority house with all of us. So we would take our meals three times a day and over there at the house. And Eldon, I'll call him Professor Smith, knew all of us. And he observed me. And one day he said, why don't you try out for a play I'm doing, personal appearance? And I said, I was studying to be a teacher. I wanted to teach third grade. My mom had been a teacher in a one-room schoolhouse, but that's what I really wanted to do in my life. And he said, would you try out for a play? And I said, no, I don't think so. I mean, I've never been on a stage. And he said, well, I would like to have you try out. I like your voice or something like that. Well, I would do anything for Dr. Eldon D. Smith. I just adored the family. So I did, and I got the part. And none of my friends recognized me on the stage because I was playing a sexy actress from Hollywood.
Ironically.
Yes, I know. Isn't that strange? In this slim dress and all the lipstick and the hair on top of my head. Well, none of my friends knew who that was on the stage because I was transformed into this sexy lady from Hollywood. And I enjoyed it. I loved watching them make the scenery. I loved being backstage, and I loved working with my peers. But I wasn't about to change my major. But then later on, he asked me to do another play, and when I finally did it, As You Like It, the Shakespearean play, I played Rosalind. Something did happen. And that summer, I was a sophomore in college, I wrote to Dr. Smith and I said, what do you think my chances are of maybe going to New York? My parents live there. And anyway, he wrote me a two-page single-space letter. And by the time I finished the letter, I thought, I think Dr. Smith thinks I can do that. And I still have that letter, by the way.
I was reading in some press material that letter has sort of lived with you on your desk for years.
It's always, it's not on my desk. It would get mixed up with all my other things. No, I have it in the top drawer on the right-hand side.
I've made copies.
I recently went out to Bowling Green with my daughter, and we were all invited, my son and my daughter, and we all did something there, and I worked with the students. And it was so glorious, and I had given them a copy of that wonderful a letter. If I ever write a book, which I never will, but it should be the letter that changed my life.
Oh. In 1987, on the campus of Bowling Green State University, they christened a theater called the Eva Marie Saint Theater.
Yeah.
And you had graduated in 1946.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm old.
Well, no, you're not. Nobody's getting any younger.
Listen, I'm so proud of it.
Well, you know, Eileen said something really interesting. We were in the green room, and I was saying, I hope I did enough research. And, you know, I was checking some facts with Eileen, and she said she was so thrilled that she had this chance to make a film with you, the legacy film. And tell me why you mentioned about the 70 years. And
well, I think that there are few people who could boast a steady and stellar career as Eva Marie in so many ways. And you'll see Eva Marie in our little film. We start with your winning the Academy Award on your first film at age 22, were you? And about ready to give birth to your first child. And we end with that lovely performance last year when you appeared at the Academy Awards.
And oh, wow, that's interesting. Mm-hmm.
Very few people have had a career as abiding and incandescent as your career, and it was a joy to work with you. So,
I remember making that film. I believe we were in Beverly Hills.
Yes.
And I think we were there the whole day, and it was just so glorious being with you and all the rest of them and Dorothea Petrie.
Yes.
And it was but how long is the film that I'm in?
It's 40 minutes.
Oh.
And it's we filmed it at Patricia Berry's house, which was owned by Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah.
And if you remember that,
yes,
and it hadn't been touched, so it was a piece of Hollywood history on two fronts.
Well, that was a wonderful day. Everybody was doing their best and giving their all. I have that so. It's so clear in my mind that day in Beverly Hills, and that house you just rented the house, right, for the day?
No, Patricia Berry was living there. Shortly afterwards, she moved out of it. We did not rent it. She gave us the house for you.
Charlie Chaplin's
film.
House.
Yes.
Will Miss Saint actually see the film for the first time at the Ojai Film Festival on November 9th?
Yes.
Oh, that's going to be fantastic. Miss Saint, bear with us. We have to go to quick station ID break. And so when we get back from the break, little few more questions I have for Eva Marie Saint. Can you believe, Mom, if you're listening, I'm speaking to Eva Marie Saint. Don't turn that down.
Good morning, sir. A pleasant good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
Please permit me to apologize for this unusual disturbance, but we're hoping for some conversations, please. Ah, lady and a young boy. Good morning to also, my dear lady. Good morning, young boy.
We are two strangers in this island, sir, and we wish to speak with you about boats.
Boats? Boats? About boats?
Yes. Yes, that is most exactly correct. Boats.
Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart, and I'm joined by Eileen Khan Power, who are speaking with the great Eva Marie Saint. And we have a couple of things that we're listening to along the way. I tried to pick music from various movies and plays and all kinds of other things that Miss Saint has been involved in. I want to actually ask Miss Saint, Eileen, one other question about the filming of the women in film. Miss Saint, you know, I was kind of amused, speaking about women in film, when you were being given the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress in On the Waterfront. That was the 27th Annual Academy Awards.
Yes, by the way, I think you said I was 22. I was 31.
You were 31. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, we're corrected.
Yeah, 22,
sorry.
I didn't know what I was going to do. I was still in college.
So, and then what I read was that you were one of only six pregnant actresses ever to receive an award on stage. And I beg the question to me, and you know, what was going on when your director, when Mr. Kazan said, if you get your name called, stay seated for a little bit, you're so darn pregnant, or something to that effect.
No, that was my husband.
That was your husband. Okay.
Yes, who died 2 years ago. And after 65 years of a wonderful, loving marriage, he was a director, and he was sitting next to me. This was in New York. They had the coaxial cable from Hollywood to New York with the show, with the Academy Awards. But we were not in. I was not. We were not in Hollywood. But he did whisper to me, "Honey, if they call your name, I want you to sit and count 6 seconds." And I can take direction. I said, "Oh, sure, yes, honey." And you know, I don't think I'm going to win. And then I heard my name, and of course, the reaction is to hop up. And I think I started to, but his thumb was on my knee.
Oh, was it
on my thigh, right next to me? And there was no way I could get up. So I just smiled. The camera's on me. I'm smiling, and I'm thinking, I'm counting 6 seconds, and then I hopped up.
And why was it because of a blood pressure issue? Was it because there was some stigma about being pregnant on what was the reason that Jeffrey said that to you?
He didn't want me to lose the baby.
Oh, really? From excitement?
Well, it was a very exciting time. We were all sitting there in this room in a little theater in New York, and because I didn't expect it, and he was saying, "Honey, you know, if they call your name, I don't want you to just." I knew what he meant. He didn't want me to hop up and trip, or God knows what, or faint, or because it was pretty. It was very heady. You know, it was a very heady experience, and I can take direction. And he's a director, and he was my honey pie. And I said, "Oh, he gets so upset if I call him a honey pie." I never have. I never did till this minute, but he was my honey.
Yes.
We'll delete the bio.
Okay.
Okay. And so then I rushed up. And in those days, you didn't have to say much. I don't know. I guess I said something like, I'm so excited I may have the baby right here.
That's exactly what you said, as a matter of fact. I have it. I looked at the old clips that are on YouTube. And yeah, I was wondering. That's such an interesting thing because one of only six female actresses to receive an award while pregnant. That says, Eileen, that says something about women in film, doesn't it?
Well, I guess it does.
Yeah. One of the interesting things I want to just introduce, as if Jeffrey Hayden was in the room right now. Miss Saint was married for 65 years to the late Jeffrey Hayden. He was a director and a producer, and you guys will know his work, Mannix, Magnum P.I., Cover Up, et cetera, and the cool thing about the thing that Miss Saint is talking about, the award, the Academy Award for the 27th Annual Academy Award, when she was given this major award, their son Daryl was born 2 days afterwards. And I looked into that because I thought, how interesting. There she is receiving Academy Award 2 days later, having a boy child. Well, Time Magazine of April 11th, 1955, reported that Miss Saint's son was born weighing 8.5 pounds, the exact weight of an Academy Award.
That is the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Did I found the clip? I found the article in the Time Magazine of April that Daryl was born at 8.5 pounds,
yes.
The same as what an Academy Award weighs itself. And
well, when I finish this interview with you, I'm going upstairs and I'm going to put that Oscar on the scale. See? I have no idea, but I do know when we lived on Mandeville Canyon here in L.A., one of my children might say to one of their friends, "Mom, Mary wants to. Could Mary, Mom, do you mind if Mary would like to see your Oscar?" I said, "Well, come on." And then I would show, and I would say, "Would you like to hold this?" And then I knew that they couldn't, and they would say, "Oh yeah, please, thank you." And I said, "No, it's really too heavy."
And it's 8.5 pounds heavy, apparently, the same weight as Daryl. Now, the interesting thing about Miss Saint and her children, she had two children, and how many grandchildren? It's funny because I did a lot of work on your bio, reading your grandson's writings about you,
Tyler.
I have one husband, two children, and four grandchildren.
It's fantastic, and Tyler's quite a talented writer himself.
He's wonderful. He's so. Dear, well, I won't go on and on because you'll be so embarrassed.
Well, that's your grandchildren. You're allowed to.
Okay.
You can.
So how much time do we have?
You have as much time as you like, Miss.
No. It's very dear, and when we would see him, my husband and I, he would come over, and with his friend Chelsea, and we would just have such great times. And when our son comes down from San Francisco, sometimes he stays with them. We have a beach house in Miramar, but we don't go. Jeff and I went up every single weekend. But I promised my children, I drive, but I promised them I wouldn't drive on the freeway. So unless my daughter, who's here, who's a psychotherapist and not far from where I live, we'll drive up together.
And that's Lorette.
That's Lorette, okay. L-A-U-R-E-T-T-E, named after the most wonderful actress, Lorette Taylor. I didn't know her, but when we went to New York, Jeff and I, but we lived there, and I mean, that's where we met. We lived in New York, and we would see her on stage, and I made had a thought one time, leaving the theater, if we ever have a daughter, I didn't say it to Jeff, but if we ever have a daughter, I'm going to name her Lorette, after Lorette Taylor.
So I'm intrigued by names right now, and the reason is, it's just a couple of days ago, I found out that I'm going to be a grandmother myself.
Oh, congratulations.
So that's my first, it's my first grandchild. It's going to be a boy, and these are some names that of course, it ended up in Miss Saint's family. Her grandchildren are Tyler Dean, Molly Joe. Is it Ellie or Eli?
Eli.
And Stella Pearl.
Pearl, uh-huh.
Great.
Stella Pearl.
I know. And she's, my daughter and I flew up to San Francisco, and she just turned 4. That's my son's little girl.
Stella Pearl.
Isn't that lovely?
And, it really is.
Well, anyway, I won't go on about her because that's such a cliche.
And Tyler, you know, is a big part of Santa Barbara with The Independent.
Yes,
so yes.
Well-known writer
his
for
mark.
The Independent. Yeah.
Yes.
He's a fine writer. He's going to be married.
Oh.
Am I saying something?
No, I'm excited to hear. Where is the wedding?
Oh, he took us, and I don't know the name, but he took Loretta and my daughter and myself to place the last time we saw him, Chelsea, and Tyler took me to a beautiful place. It's very high on a hill, and there's a wonderful area where you have the reception. It's beautiful. Oh, dear.
Is in Santa Barbara?
I think it's the El Encanto. I bet you. Is it the Belmont El Encanto? Does that ring a bell? That's high, and it has
a hotel.
It's not a hotel. Okay.
No, I know that hotel. No. Oh, dear. Well,
you'll think of it. In the meantime,
could you get Tyler on the phone before we're
Yeah, we actually could. Let's go to quick break. Ms. Saint, will you bear with us so we go to a quick break for station ID, and then we get back from the break? I want to ask you what your favorite boy's name is, because I've been putting...
My favorite boy's name?
Yeah, when we get back from the break, so you have a few seconds to think about it, because I need a name for my grandson. So I'm going to ask you when we get back from the break. Don't turn that dial. Back with Eva Marie Saint. And I'm also joined by the producer of the Women in Legacy film series, Eileen Khan Power. And she had done a 40-minute film of Miss Eva Marie Saint to be shown November the 9th at the Ojai Film Festival at 4 p.m. Don't turn that dial. Back in a second.
I don't understand. I mean, who are you? I didn't hear a car. How did you...
Please, not to be afraid. We are nobody. We wish only to inquire where to find power boat for private use for some brief little time. You understand, sir?
Sorry, but I still don't understand. There are no boats around here.
Elizabeth Stewart. I'm joined by Eileen Khan Power, and we're talking with the actress of every actress's dream, you know, amazing woman, 70 years in film, in plays, in TV, and Eileen's done a sort of a legacy film documentary as part of the award that the Ojai Film Festival is giving her, and that is part of the Women in Legacy films. And Eileen, you know, making this with Ms. Saint, did you get a sense of the kind of person she was at all?
Well, I did. I knew a lot about her because Lorette and I were good friends. We worked together at HBO, and then I had the great privilege of doing a film with Eva Marie and Rita Moreno for CBS. I think it was may have been after that or before, but... So I had a really great sense of Eva Marie, and I met Jeffrey, and I have always been, they have been role models to me and my husband as how people could work together, because I know you did theater and you did love letters, and you were so inextricably a part of each other's life, and that always impressed me, and you had the biggest love affair, and...
So that made impression on you because you and Mr. Powers work together as a team
we
in your
do.
Production company.
We do.
That's a challenge to work together.
We love it.
Do you?
We do.
Do you?
We do.
Ms. Saint.
You know what the challenge later is? Is to carry on alone.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes. That must be such a void because 65 years... And, you know, such a loving family. I was reading, Eileen, as I was researching for this, when Ms. Saint was doing a film, I believe it was, let me look that up. She was doing a film, Tyler wrote about it, your grandson. You were doing a film here. Wait a minute. I'm finding it right now. And testimony. You actually were doing a film that you had to go to, to Europe? And you said to the director, fine, I'll go to Europe, but I want to bring...
That was Exodus.
That was Exodus.
And that was Preminger, Otto Preminger.
You said to Otto Preminger, of all people, I want to bring my husband. And he said, and then you said, and I also want to bring my two kids, and then I want to bring my parents. And then since my parents are going to be a little bit bored, I want to bring Jeffrey's parents. And he said, well, you got quite a little Exodus yourself, don't you?
Yeah. But he agreed. No, I wanted to do the film, and I loved the script, and I wanted to go to Israel, but I was not going to go alone, and I wanted Jeff and my children and my mother and father, and Jeff's dad was had gone, but his mother, and so that she could keep my mom, could have each other and sort of thing. And it worked great. It just worked great.
And where did they stay? Were they on set with you then?
No. They were with the children, and we were in Haifa most of the time. And my son, or Daryl, was about five at the time. Lorette was three, and the people at the hotel knew the couple on the hill right above the hotel, who helped people with their children when the parents were traveling. So they suggested that Daryl, who was five, could, it was like a kibbutz in a sense, but it was at home. And Daryl went, and for about a month or so, but Lorette would be looking out the window and she would say, me too, me too, me too, mommy, me too. So we decided to put Lorette
in the kibbutz.
In the kibbutz, well, it was really a home. Yeah. He was the head of the police department in Haifa, and so that they both went. And when Lorette would come home at the end of the day, and I can still smell how she smelled because they used this wonderful baby powder, and her hair was all washed, and she was in her little pajamas that I would always send with her. And I think all the girls there thought she was like a little doll. They were playing doll all day. But they were really great. It was wonderful.
I have to say also that, Eileen was telling us that one of the things she most admires is your personal relationship with your late husband, Jeffrey Hayden. And I thought it was so interesting looking at your late husband's career. Human rights is a big deal, and it should be a big deal today. And Jeffrey was an original member of the Directors Guild of America's first Creative Rights Committee.
Yes, he was very much involved in that. He was all the way in many areas.
Also, he started at NBC New York after graduating from Chapel Hill, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
Yes.
How did he end up in the South?
How did he end up in the South?
Yeah.
Oh, he was visiting somebody. What is the other university?
Well, there's Duke University.
Duke. That was it. He was visiting a friend in Duke, and he had come down from, I was living in the Bronx, and he just, excuse me, and he said goodbye to his friend, and he was on a bus back to the station, the train station, I guess it was, and... They stopped at Chapel Hill, and Jeff thought, he was such a curious fellow. He said, excuse me, I'd like to get off here. So he got out of the bus. He started across campus, and it's beautiful. Chapel Hill is
yes.
The most beautiful campus.
Yes.
But as he was walking in the main section there, the circle, somebody came by from the other direction, and he said to Jeff, hello, how are you? Just like that.
Uh-huh.
Hello, how are you?
Southern accent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it was so friendly.
Yep.
I mean, coming from the Bronx, I guess it was really friendly. So we walked a little further, and somebody else, another person, another man. Hello, how are you? Well, after about the fifth person, Jeff thought, this is a place for me. And he went to the office, talked to the man in charge, and Jeff said, I would like to come here to college. And the man said, and the gentleman said, and he signed him up. It was, I think it was midterm. Signed him up, and there he was. He was going to be a student at Chapel Hill, called his parents and said, send down my clothes, and that was it. And he, it was glorious. He had four glorious years there.
I have to say, Miss Saint, so my son was at Duke University.
Oh.
Yes, and actually he was a born and raised Californian, and he was accepted into all these various schools, and so we went and visited Brown, and we went and visited Haverford, and we went and visited Duke. And the minute we stepped off the plane, the same thing happened to my son. He felt that humidity, and people were, with that southern way about them, they greet each other. They still greet each other.
Yes.
And he fell in love with it. Well, my grandson is going to be born in Raleigh-Durham.
Oh.
So they stayed, actually. He met a girl from Duke, his class at Duke, and they stayed, actually. So I want to get back, when we get back from the break, have you been thinking about a name for my grandson?
Mm-hmm.
Have you? Do you have a good name for me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When we get back from the break, she's going to let me have it.
Okay.
Don't turn that dial. I'll be back in a minute with Eva Marie Saint.
No boats.
No.
This is an island with no boats.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, there are boats, some boats, but not around here. In town. I mean, in the harbor in town, but there are none around here.
Big boats.
Yes.
Well, motor power boats.
All different kinds of boats, yes.
They're Russian.
Uh-huh. A nice little boat there, sir. Which way to harbor, please?
Well, it's 5 miles down the road.
Ask him if they're Russian.
Peter, be quiet.
Welcome back, and if you didn't recognize that, that's a clip from The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming, which is also one of the films that Miss Eva Marie Saint did. That's a little bit of dialogue. That's not her yet, but she's on a little bit later screaming and yelling because someone's pulling a gun on her family. It's a film you've got to see. And she.
I love that. I love making that film.
And you were a comedian in that film.
Yes, yes. Well, yeah.
And you were really funny, and you were sort of like a spun around by Alan Arkin.
Oh,
in the funniest
it was the
way.
Most, it's the most, has the most beautiful, really beautiful cast, and Carl Reiner, he was, we played husband and wife, and well, for Fort Bragg, and I had, Norma Jewison directed it, and Fort Bragg is often, well, the fog rolls in,
yeah,
and people can't fly and they can't drive, and so a couple of times we were grounded and we couldn't perform. So Norman Jewison would put on a wonderful film, and he had rented a very beautiful house, and all those who wanted to come would come and would go and see the film, and we would have little cakes and things, and it was just so. It was. I remember calling my husband and saying, "Well, now, honey, I'm in Fort Bragg, and it's so nice. It's such a little town. It's very different from L.A. And I don't know. Maybe we should raise our children here. I don't know what I got into. I got so involved in the town. However, that there is a footnote because apparently at one time the suicide rate was highest in any town." It's nothing to laugh at.
No, but it's the fog.
I know. It's the fog, I think.
I've been there. It's the fog.
Oh, and you've been there.
It was something about sunlight deprivation or something like that.
Oh.
But Lorette would know about that, I'm sure. Yeah,
Lorette.
So do you have a name for my grandson?
Well, I love Daryl. I'll tell you what. That's our grandson's, my son's name.
Daryl.
I love that the name because you can't shorten it. You can't be D. You can't be Dar. You're Daryl forevermore.
That's true.
Well, think of a name that can't be like, you know, William is Bill. I just like names that they can't fool around with the name.
And your mom, speaking of names, your mom was also Eva Marie, right?
My dad's name was Saint, so my mom's name was Eva Marie Saint, which I kept as an actor. That's my maiden name, and. I seldom have been called Eva Marie Hayden once in a while, but it's Eva Marie Saint, yeah.
And Eva Marie was your mom's first name as well?
Yes, that was my mom's name, Eva Marie, and my dad's name was Saint. So she was Eva Marie Saint. She was Eva Marie Saint the first. I'm
the
second.
First. And then your dad passed, John Merrill Saint passed in...
John Merrill.
John Merrill passed 1965, and then your mom lived to 1987.
She lived to be 90, and I think she'd still be alive, but she broke her hip.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You were quoted in...
by the way, I just want to say she tripped on a little carpet. She was at the Casa Dorinda in Santa Barbara.
Was she in the Casa Dorinda?
Yes, and she tripped on a little rug, and that was the beginning of the end. Mm-hmm. And when Jeffrey died, my daughter Lorette came over, and because I had little rugs, a couple of them, and the first thing she said, "Hi, Mom," and then she's on the floor taking up all the little rugs.
Does that sound like the Lorette you know, Eileen? Yes,
yes. Eileen, she's perfect.
The girlfriend,
she
Lorette.
Me. She sure does.
You know, I'm.
She's not bossy, but she really knows what she's doing, right?
She sure does. She's brilliant, to be honest.
Is she really?
Yes, we made many movies together, and then she went on to have a great career as a psychologist.
As a psychotherapist.
Psychotherapist.
Yes,
she's amazing.
She loves it.
She
loves her work, and she's so dedicated. She works so hard. I'm very, very fortunate to have my children. I was thinking that's sort of the world today. I think women live longer than men. And
that's true.
If you have a family, luckily you have a family. And so many younger people now in their 60s are helping with the older parents because we're living longer.
I have to say that I mentioned your mom because I want to bring up a quote that was in Tyler's article about yourself. You're quoted, Tyler writes, that you said, "When creating characters, I love to watch people. My husband, Jeffrey, gets upset because I'd like to go to the airport an hour or two beforehand. Back then, you showed up 20 minutes beforehand because I love to watch people."
That's right.
I could sit there and watch people forever. I would remember their walks. I'd listen to them, their facial expression. It's constant learning. Lee Strasberg once said, "The time between your job is as important as the job themselves."
Oh, you really did your homework. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Now, what my question is, is that you were talking about Actors Theater, Lee Strasberg's Actors Studio.
Actors Studio. Uh-huh.
You were talking about that, and you were talking about a part that he gave you in which he forced you, or didn't force you, but part of the part was that you needed to cry. You needed to cry, and you were worried about that because coming from a Midwestern family, you know, as I have too, you know, you just didn't cry in front of each other. And so it was difficult to get you into that mindset that you were going. And you're quoted as saying, "I used something to cry. In a sense, I remember what I used." And then later on in the article, you mentioned this idea of using something. Is it that you're calling up an emotion?
Exactly.
I see. I see. You later. Go ahead.
No, I actually used a dog, a little Skippy that we had. I didn't grow up in the West, by the way.
Midwest, I said.
No.
No?
I went to Bowling Green.
Oh, okay.
No, I grew up in
New York.
Queens,
okay.
And Albany, near, you know, New York. And then I went to New York, and my family was living, my mother and dad, in Queens when I graduated from college. But what were we talking about?
The idea that you, when you're doing a character and you're reaching down, you say you use something. I'm wondering what use means.
Well, yes, you use, first of all, the emotion. And do think back when it could have been if I had a sister who died or a parent who died, but I was so young that I was distraught when Skippy died, and so that's what you conjure up the memory, and it either works for you or it doesn't, and you try different things, and I stayed with Skippy and I cried, yes.
Mm. Later on in this particular interview, you said, "Very often, characters are a combination of people. I've used my mom a lot."
Mm-hmm.
You used your mom a lot. What was the first Eva Marie like?
Well, my dad traveled a lot, and she could make. I admired her so because she made everything we wore up until the day I left for college. And I had the most beautiful, not large, maybe five skirts or maybe four, and four sweaters, a couple of blouses, and that was it. And she made everything for my sister and myself because she was very creative. She'd been a teacher, and she just could do anything. I remember one of my fondest memories is my dad, who was brilliant in math. They were on the floor, and she was making a plaid skirt, and she wanted everything to match. To this day,
it's hard to do with plaid.
Well, I know it is. And my dad had his pencil and paper. I don't know what he was doing, figuring out, I don't know, but mathematically speaking. And there's my mom with the scissors and the pattern. And I remember walking by and thinking, oh, I just love this idea that they're both on the floor working on this plaid skirt for me. I know it's going to be beautiful. And it was. I love that skirt.
I guess what your dad was doing, you know, maybe counting so that you could match, the seam would match.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, maybe doing that. But what's
I've been wondering all this. Listen, it's worth the call today just to hear that from you. I've never been
Well, I love
never
to sew.
It out.
I love to sew, and you do. You have to pattern match, and sometimes if you're upholstering, you have to go another 63 inches before that pattern repeats again. So it's a repeating thing, and with plaid, it's difficult, Miss Saint, because you're not. It's a combination of well, it's actually you're using your Pythagorean theorem, if you understand what I'm saying. It's a combination of three. What do you call it, John? John, indices. You're matching three. You're the mathematician in the room. But anyway, I'm asking.
I was not that great in math. So you don't see me on the floor.
That's right. You just
my worst subject. Worst, I don't know.
Wasn't right. But you know, the interesting thing about what she's saying is it's calling me back to what you said, Eileen, which is the idea of a couple working together. There she is with her, seeing her parents.
That's true.
Counting the lines in a plaid on the floor, and then she's working with the late great Jeffrey Hayden, and then you're working with Mr. Powers, your husband.
Derek, yes.
So you've got a lot of things going on with this idea of this coupleness and how it's a glue and
it's
how
teamwork.
Teamwork.
It is. I want to say one thing that impressed me so much about Eva Marie and the story of her going to Israel on Exodus. You know, today we have to deal with issues of balance and family, and it was so difficult then. And you really asserted yourself that your family was as important as your career. And you paved the way for a lot of women to be able to do that, because very often we couldn't do that. And I know even when I was at HBO, I had to travel so much. If you remember, so did Lorette. We all had to travel a lot, and we had kids at home. So you really made it, you showed the way. And that was that was really an important, it certainly affected me, knowing your stories.
You know, you go through life, and that's so beautiful to hear. Thank you for, as they say, sharing that with me, because I never would have, it was me, my family, and yes, I wanted to do the role. If it didn't work out, fine, on to the next.
Was that different from some of the other actresses that you've interviewed, Eileen? Did their jobs come before their families in some cases?
Well, often it does, and often people choose not to have a family. And Eva Marie is talking about the riches of having family and children and what that means. And I'm a family first person too, and I think that both can coexist.
It's interesting.
And that's one of the stories that we share with these legacy films, is that they started out as oral histories, and then we started making them into little films with clips, and not to just hear about them, but to show. And for us, it was what to include and what to not include, because there are so many great films. I wanted to reference one film that you'll be amused as in. We have you dancing with Bob Hope.
That certain feeling, the first time I met you, I hit the ceiling. I can never forget you. Yes, go ahead.
And when you see, and that's exactly it. I didn't know that you could sing and dance.
No, I
and
didn't either.
And so adorable. You're playing, and he's playing the banjo, and you're dancing on the furniture.
I know.
We have that clip in the movie.
Oh, you do?
Yes, we do.
When we had a rehearsal for that, And at one point I was on the table, and apparently somebody had used some polish the night before. Taking, and I just went zoom into the air, fell on my back, hit my head on the floor.
Ouch.
And I wasn't knocked out, but they said, I said, no photos, please, no photos.
Wise woman, yes.
I know.
So about Bob Hope, Miss Saint is quoted about Bob Hope as saying, let's talk about a sense of humor. Bob was just downright fun to work with. He's a workaholic, which I'm not. I have other interests in my life. But Bob's only happy when he's performing. Bob is an American institution.
Who said that?
You did.
Who did?
You did.
I did.
Yeah. If we can take IMDb for truth.
Well, yeah. If I said that today, if I would say that today, I guess I did say that. Not quite the way. But, yes, he was... It threw me a little bit. At one point, he loved to have an audience, and I came from the actor studio where you had your audience in your workshop, but you didn't take them with you when you did a radio show or whatever. But Bob Hope loved to have, especially women, come by, and maybe they were clubs or something, and he would invite them. And I remember that the first day it happened, it was a sort of a dramatic scene. Not that there were that many dramatic scenes in this movie set, you know, but it's all fun and games. But I thought, I can't do this scene with all these women in their different hats. It's too distracting. And then I thought, no, I thought of the Actors Studio and Lee Strasberg, and he always said that the director is the conductor, and the actor is the instrument. And when the music starts, you do what the conductor, you know, you have your own going on inside, your thoughts, your emotions, but you do have a conductor. And I just stood up straight, and I began to enjoy all those ladies.
Wonderful. It's so interesting, this concept of an instrument. I want to talk with you more about this when we get back from the break, Miss Saint. Will you bear with us for two seconds? Okay, we're so enjoying this. I know Eileen and I are just smiling to each other and nodding our heads, and we knew we were going to love this, and we sure are. Thank you for joining us. And so don't turn that dial. Back with Eva Marie Saint in a second.
Yeah, all you need is love is all you need.
May I ask you something, please?
Are there nine of you out there? Are any of you all Russians with machine guns? And does one of you look like Uncle... look like a wrestler?
I'm sorry to comply with your statement, but misfortunately, all of the answers to these questions are yes.
He's got a gun!
Please to step inside the house, please.
No, wait, no, just wait a minute. You can't come in here.
Yes, no, lady, please, not to worry, for no harm is coming. No harm, absolutely no harm at all.
Honey, don't be frightened. There's got to be some explanation to all this, Pete. I'm sorry I didn't believe you, son.
All to keep him calm, please. Yes. I repeat, no harm is coming. Hold on, please, being seated.
It's all right, honey, just take it easy now. Pete, boy, don't be scared. There's no need to be scared.
I'm not scared.
Good.
Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart, and I am joined by Eileen Khan Power, who is the producer of the Women in Film Legacy series. We are going to be showing a film. Eileen is going to be showing a film on Eva Marie Saint's legacy, Ojai Film Festival, November 9th at 4 p.m. with a reception with the actress following. And Miss Saint, did you happen to notice the song that was sort of a rock song that was playing right then?
Well, it sounded like waterfront music.
So there's a rock song. Richard will play a little clip of it later, but it's a song by Lloyd Cole and the Commotions, and it's about you. And there's a phrase in it. I think it was done in the late 90s, but there's a phrase in it that she looks as beautiful as Eva Marie in the Saint in the waterfront. And there's a line in that, because I was looking for things that referenced you, and I came across this song. I guess the guy's probably in his late 30s or so who made it. It's a very beautiful song, but a rock song about you even, you know, in these days today about your role. Now, about this idea of you, your body or your craft, or what is it? What is the instrument? What was Mr.
Well,
Strasburg?
Well, when you think of an instrument, I used to play the violin, and it, there it is. It's lying on the table, and you have to bring it to life, don't you?
Yeah.
And you don't just play the notes. You have feelings about it. You have feelings about it when you play that instrument. If it's sad, you can think of whatever. And if it's happy, you think of something else. I mean, you're just not playing the notes. It's like acting. I mean, and so you are the instrument, and you play on your instrument. Mm. And if you go to the act studio, you find out how to do that.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting because I have a friend who is a very great writer, went to school. Her daughter went to school with my son, Barbara Kingsolver. She's a wonderful writer. And she was talking about writing, and she said, you know, if you're going to write, stop abusing yourself. If you smoke, stop. If you drink, stop. If you do it, because when you get older, your instrument's going to break down. And when you're older is when you write the best, because you're wise. You're wise.
Oh.
So keep care of that instrument. And then the next day I was researching for our interview, Miss Satan, I found the same thing. Is it's different. It's an instrument that you've got to have that physicality because you're an actor, but kind of the same. How do you think people your age are being written for now in Hollywood?
Well, I'm so old. I don't think they're writing for 94 people, 94 years old.
I don't know. It seems that if your instrument is the wisest at 94, that somehow there should be a provision for that. I mean, you were just in something, and what was your latest work? Was 2014 that you did something?
A Winter's Tale.
Uh-huh, Winter's Tale. That's right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yes, in New York. We did that in New York, yeah.
And how was that? Was that fun? Was that?
Yeah.
Was Jeffrey with you?
I love being back in New York.
Yeah.
And Jeff went with me, and he was so dear because I'd get in late, and he'd have food on that.
He took good care of you. I can hear it. Yeah.
Yes, he certainly did.
Oh. So it was Winter's Tale 2014. And you know, Richard, do we have to go to one more break, or are we finished for the day? Okay. So, Miss Sane, I wanted to just take the opportunity to thank you, and also thank you for your appearance to come November the 9th at 4 p.m. at the Ojai Film Festival, which is at the Arts Center at Ojai. And Eileen, are you moderating? Are you you're going to be moderating?
It's my honor to do so, and I'm really excited, and I'm excited for you to see the film, Eva Marie.
And, you know, Eileen, Ojai is just... That was one of our favorite places. I mean, we love Santa Barbara, and what happened in the fire, it's one of the saddest stories I think I've ever witnessed in my lifetime. But Jeff and I would go every weekend and to our house in Santa Barbara, which we still have. We don't get up that often. I don't get up there that often. But Ojai was always, we went to so many concerts there. We just love it. It's the beautiful little town, It's sophisticated, and yet it's casual. It's quite remarkable. So I'm looking forward to going in, and I'll be with my daughter, Eileen. We'll see you.
Oh,
we can't wait
Loretta's
to see
coming?
You. Yes, Loretta is, and we're going to have a fun dinner afterwards.
If you want to find out more, ojaifilmfestival.com online, ojaifilmfestival.com online, and the film festival is the 1st through the 11th, and the special event with Eva Marie Saint is November the 9th at the Ojai Arts Center, and that's November 9th at 4 p.m. And you can definitely get tickets, but they are going fast, I'm told.
Oh, good.
Yes.
And could I say goodbye to my darling Tyler Hayden, my grandson?
Goodbye, Tyler.
Goodbye, Tyler.
And thank you for, bye, Tyler.
Kiss, hug, nuzzle.
Kiss, hug, nuzzle to Tyler, and congratulations on your nuptials to come, Tyler.
Yes.
And may you be as happy as your grandmother and grandfather obviously were.
Yes. We hope they would get married, and we adored Chelsea, and we spent a lot of time together because Tyler lives there and Chelsea lives there, and we would go up and visit and have dinners with him, and I love to cook for them. And he's a very talented, talented writer. He's one of the sweet people, sweetest person in the world.
That's fantastic. Thanks. Thank you for sharing with us, Miss Saint, and we'll see you on November the 9th in Ojai. Thanks, Eileen,
thank
for
you.
Helping me with this.
Thank you, Eva Marie.
Bye, Eileen.
Bye.
I'll be seeing you.
Bye.
Bye, Jim.